This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. We're happy to have you with us on this Friday. Yesterday, the world was rocked by another terrorist attack. We'll have details from Barcelona in just a few minutes. But first, we have news out of Washington today. President Trump has told senior aides that he's decided to remove top strategist Steve Bannon. The Democrats, he told the prospect, the longer they talk about identity politics, I got them. I want them to talk about racism every day. If the left is focused on race and identity and we go with economic nationalism, we can crush Democrats.
I think he believes that this is a this argument is a political benefit to Donald Trump and to conservatives and Republicans in general.
That's Susan Page, Washington bureau chief for USA Today. She says the president's reactions since Charlottesville are less failures of the moment and more Steve Bannon's long-term strategy.
There is some history that racial politics can benefit conservatives and those who stand against kind of arguments for diversity. The nation is changing in terms of becoming more diverse and becoming more tolerant of diversity. But the election last November, I think, was a sign that old racial politics can still work.
So Steve Bannon may be gone from the White House, but even as he exits, it's a strategy the president is already employing. This week, President Trump has tweeted about tearing down Confederate monuments and memorials, street signs and markers all across the country. It's an old political story that's taken on new intensity now, with a president who feels he has something to gain by not isolating white supremacists. The divisions here are real. The president's strategy is real, too. So what does that mean for us? Sean King is a columnist with the New York Daily News and a social justice activist, and he joins me now in the studio. Sean, thanks for being here.
Hey, man. Good to see you.
A minute ago, I saw you and I said, how you doing? And it wasn't as simple an answer as probably we're used to giving.
Right. You know, already when we ask and answer those questions, we're not always being truthful anyway.
Yeah, you say, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good. Even if you just had an argument with your spouse or loved one or whatever, you don't say that. But now when people ask you how you're doing, like even me coming into the building, several different people ask me or I ask them, and everybody pauses because we're not okay. And I'm not okay. You're not okay. And the struggle is it's difficult to articulate precisely what's wrong because so much is wrong. And so, no, I'm not fine like I normally am. It'd be a lie to say so. But it is hard to put words on exactly what's wrong because so many things seem off.
That suggests, though, that there's something really new about this past week, right? But racism isn't new. White supremacy isn't new. Even the president's inability or unwillingness to advance the country morally isn't new. But there's something about the last week that seems unprecedented. I think that's what you're getting at.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that assessment. And that's what I hear. Like, I see a lot of people saying that same thing. Like, listen, racism has always been here. So why are we responding this way now? But this past week has been groundbreaking in a few different ways. Like the sheer volume of what happened in Charlottesville is new. That number of white supremacists and neo-Nazis assembled in that way is new. Also, there's a new face to it for most of us. There's a stereotype of a white supremacist that looks one way, and we're seeing it now in a very different form. And I think it's disarming for people to see it in a way that looks unfamiliar. It is no longer a Southern tattooed redneck, but it looks like somebody in khakis and polos with a clean cut. So that kind of took the rug out of what white supremacists look like for a lot of Americans. And then it was violent. And we had someone killed and people injured, and people just felt like, okay, somebody of note needs to stop this, needs to intervene. And instead, the president of the United States was completely silent for days and then ultimately kind of co-signed and endorsed the white supremacists and neo-Nazis, defended them in some ways. And for me, that's new. Like, I don't think in my lifetime I've ever seen a president defend neo-Nazis the way Trump did this past week. And that was painful to experience, and it again there was a safety net for the past 8 years with President Obama. Like, there were times where we hoped he would do something. He didn't always do it, but he would at least always say something. And here with Trump, anytime he would open his mouth, he would often make matters much worse.
I mean, that's the part that's new, right, is the cover that those guys marching in Charlottesville and others felt like they had from the president. I mean, there was a Klan rally 30 miles from my house in Pennsylvania when I was a kid.
Right.
But the protection, in a way, the cover that these marchers felt like they had from the very top was something I have never, ever seen before, never imagined, really.
No, I never imagined it either. And the same thing, I grew up in rural Kentucky, and, you know, as a teenager, I moved to Georgia. We always saw these types of things on the news, but they were kind of universally panned as being the fringe of America, as being the worst of America. Like, this is the exception to the rule. And by and large, people on both sides of the aisle, people from all walks of life, saw it and were disgusted. But it was clear that not only was the president feeling it very differently about it, but the white supremacists there in Charlottesville and around the country were watching Donald Trump very closely and felt the same way we felt. They felt like, wow, he is defending us. And so I've been studying message boards and white supremacist sites for all this week. And they've seen this past week as an enormous victory, in huge part because they feel like they got what they wanted from Donald Trump. Like, one of the phrases I see them saying all the time is, he's back. Like, he is now back to being who we thought he would be for us. And in a sense, I believe that. I agree with them. To have the president of the United States, whether it's Donald Trump, regardless of what we think about him, but to have someone in that office, in that position, defend them and defend what they're fighting for has given them a level of legitimacy that I'm not even sure they thought they were going to get.
Still, Sean King, you heard Susan Page at the top there, Steve Bannon's interviews that he's given over the last couple of days as Confederate monuments come down in reaction to this. Bannon says, great, identity politics will win. Bring those monuments down. Make it about identity politics. The president is picking that fight, seems to agree with Bannon, got on Twitter yesterday and extols the virtues of beautiful Confederate monuments. That part of it, the monument part, identity part, is now strategy.
Yeah, and we should have seen this coming. As soon as Trump's approval ratings started to tank, my prediction was he is going to do anything and everything to sew up his base. And that's exactly what we're seeing. Like, as soon as his approval ratings started getting in the 30s, there was a part of me that started getting nervous because I knew he would fight back to make sure that they'd never got lower than that. And so that means going back to, again, what white supremacists say, going back to campaign Trump, where he is fully engaged in identity politics. And I believe he's done that in many different ways over the past 3 weeks, be it attacking transgender people in the military, which was so random, but all about culture and identity politics. This awful thing that he tweeted yesterday, this kind of genocidal tweet about killing Muslims and burying them with pigs. Like, that's not policy. That's not normal. That's about saying inflammatory stuff that will appeal to his base. And it's deeply disturbing. But I think we are getting a glimpse of this is Trump with his back against the wall, and it's worked in this sense. Nobody's talking about Russia. Nobody's talking about healthcare. We are now all stressed and confused and worried about America in a way that we weren't just 2 or 3 weeks ago, and now we are all focused on very different things that he has thrown out there. This is what we thought having Steve Bannon as your chief strategist would look like. This is a Breitbart presidency.
And yet, there have been reactions from around politics. Some of them have been surprising. This is Senator Bob Corker, the Republican chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, just yesterday. Listen to this.
He also recently has not demonstrated that he understands the character of this nation. He has not demonstrated that he understands what has made this nation great and what it is today.
Again, Sean King, that's Republican Senator Bob Corker, chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee and an ally of the president's in public that you just heard.
Yeah. When I hear that, you know, Corker's deeply conservative dude, you know, and when I hear that, a lot of my progressive friends, and I'm as progressive and as liberal as it gets, and when a lot of my progressive friends hear that, they discount it, but like, ah, he's just, it's all talk, it doesn't matter. I don't believe that. Like, that's a change to see a deeply conservative Republican senator call him out like that. Like, if we didn't know who that was, we could have assumed that was the harshest critic of President Trump. And that's, I think, a turning point, at least for someone in his position to be able to call him out in that way. I think it matters.
So, Sean, we're going to let you go. I appreciate you stopping by. We started this conversation by acknowledging that it's been a bewildering and confusing week. What's your hope for next week? I will give you the weekend off, and when you wake up Monday morning, what's your hope for next week, realistically?
Well, yeah, man, that's a more difficult question to answer than I would have thought. You know, normally you can just look forward to a week and wonder. There are probably two things that I'm hopeful for. There were some horrendous neo-Nazis and white supremacists who attacked a young man, DeAndre Harris, in Charlottesville. And I hope by this time next week that some of those men have been held accountable and have been arrested. And I hope that we continue to organize in simple grassroots ways to see how we can begin fighting back. And that may mean local politics. It may mean local marches or protests for wherever you are. But don't just tweet and Facebook, which is fine. Figure out ways that you can get involved locally and make a difference. And I think we're all a little shell-shocked this week. And I think once we process what we've seen and experienced, I think Americans will begin to say, yeah, I want to fight back in some practical ways.
Sean King, columnist with the New York Daily News. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, man.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.